Atheist Nomads, episode 305, Babies and Whatnot.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
Welcome to another episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin. Joining me is Lauren.
Hi, Dustin.
Here in a little bit, we're going to have Mary with us when we get to the fourth hour of the episode 300 live stream. So that's going to be that's a lot of fun.
We're straight up goofy.
Yeah, yeah.
But we both had our pregnancies at the same time, so there's a lot of baby talk.
Yep, and Mary is having another baby, so...
But, which is awesome.
Yeah. With the ads, those
are... for a breeder.
we have ads now, which by now everybody should have heard. If you have not heard the ads, then please let me know where you are listening, because we need to get that switched over to the new host.
Yeah, because we want to get paid for this shit.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be nice to make more than like $1.50 an hour working on the podcast.
Oh, that's cute that you've even like looked at it.
I did the math quickly in my head because it came up in conversation earlier today.
Oh, okay. Kylie is being adorable right now.
Oh, she really is.
She's all snuggly on a pillow.
Yeah.
Speaking of babies.
So, okay, we're recording this Thursday. Yeah, Thursday. Because we're going to be at the cabin for Memorial Day weekend.
Whoop, whoop.
And want to have this up before we go to the cabin.
Whoop, whoop. Whoop.
Is she going to walk?
No.
No. Maybe? Oh, so close.
Sorry, distracted.
Oh, this is going to continue.
Almost, baby!
Yeah, that was almost a mini step. Oh, good girl. Come here. Mama be proud of you on the microphone. Okay, back to
so,
it.
So, we are going to cover any news.
Yeah, talking right into it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, she got drool all over the microphone. $300 microphone.
Oh no, it's the $20 windscreen.
But the $20 windscreen slash baby protector.
A $20 piece of foam. Yep.
That's a really expensive piece of foam.
This one was $30.
God damn it! You're getting ripped off by foam by big foam.
It's a large diaphragm microphone. Those are not cheap.
Big foam.
Yeah, because we're recording early, we aren't going to necessarily try and talk about current news because it's not going to be particularly current. So we have this discussion from the live stream coming up. But Lauren missed out on talking about the Georgia and Alabama abortion bills.
Yay, body parts that
so,
I have and
yes.
that are relevant.
And which resulted in the case of the two people on the podcast.
Oh my God.
Oh, holy
oh
shit.
My God.
Kylie just took her first steps.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, Kylie took her first step.
Yay.
That happened not live on the podcast, but recorded on the podcast. we took a bit of a break with that so that we could actually get it on video and,
try to trick her into doing it again.
Yeah, and freak out and put her to bed and all of that. So, yes, we are back now. That's so exciting, though.
Yeah, we clipped.
A lot.
Audio-wise, that was awesome.
A lot of times, yeah.
The joys of being new parents. Oh, mm-hmm. It's good times. All right.
Okay, so we talked about the Alabama and Georgia abortion laws last week, and... It was two people who did not have uteruses talking about it because Lauren was taking care of a baby.
Relevant.
Quite relevant, yes. We screwed up quite a bit, I'm pretty sure, because it is almost impossible to keep these bills all straight.
Oh, yeah.
And I know I got a lot of details wrong.
Oh.
I'm not sure what details I got wrong, but I know I got details wrong.
Mm, fair enough.
And... Honestly, my opinion on it is that it doesn't matter because these bills all have, these are not, none of these bills are intended to become the law. These bills are all intended to go to court.
Yeah. And to further one's political mm-hmm. career, not necessarily their agenda,
right.
Which is two different things.
So Alabama knew that their law will not ever go into effect. They signed it to, and I honestly suspect they passed it as a strategic move to make Georgia and Ohio and Arkansas's bills look more reasonable when they all arrive at the Supreme Court.
Yeah. Make something pass, even if it's not.
Right. Because most of the scholars and experts that are watching this the closest are convinced that John Roberts will try to at least maintain the core findings of Roe versus Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey and preserve, in theory, a woman's access to abortion. Most realistic people think that in the process, he will gut both.
Yeah.
And make it almost meaningless, but still preserve the key findings. Which means the 20-week bans will probably be okay. The 6-week bans probably won't.
I don't see those passing.
Alabama's definitely won't.
You can't prosecute somebody for crossing state border.
That's Georgia.
So that one's going to get thrown out too. That was the big one where everybody's like, if you'd written the law any other way, but you can't prosecute people who go across state borders.
Right.
And make people in other states criminal of your laws. That doesn't work.
No, that's completely not possible.
The 6-week bills, I just don't see that going through because too many women have a late period is a late period sometimes. And
mm-hmm. Those are intentional.
You have to be, the whole point of having access is that you can't restrict mm-hmm. the time frame that much.
Right. And the whole point of the 6-week ban is an ultimate ban.
Right.
Because it's not targeting anybody who's trying to get pregnant. And if you're trying to get pregnant, is how you're going to know you're pregnant at 5 weeks with enough time to schedule an appointment to get an abortion. Because the average woman being late isn't uncommon. Most women aren't tracking that close unless they're trying to get pregnant.
Yeah. And more women than not have very irregular periods of some sort.
Uh-huh.
So it's just not going to.
So it is very much, the 6-week bans are abortion bans, period.
And they'll see that and throw it out, hopefully. Right?
Maybe? Hopefully.
I don't know.
The goal here is to, whatever John Roberts and the liberals on the Supreme Court can agree on.
Okay. So well, I think that's...
The compromise between John Roberts and Ruth Bader Ginsburg is what will be the ruling.
That gives me hope. You know, if we can depend on compromise in the Supreme Court, that's what it's there for, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Supposedly, that's what Congress is there for, too, but we've seen that that doesn't work anymore.
As far right as the Supreme Court is, it is currently the most functional branch of government.
Yeah, well...
And it's intended to be the least functional because it's intended to just be there when people are being stupid.
And there they are.
Uh-huh.
Because people are being stupid.
Okay, so I do think, though, that it is worth... One of the points that is worth talking about with this is that the evangelical pro-life argument is completely morally bankrupt because they are opposed to welfare programs. They want to prosecute women. Some of these laws are so poorly written that you could possibly go to prison for a miscarriage.
Yes. They were written that way on purpose.
Yeah. The evangelical approach is new. Evangelicals
and
caring
weird.
About abortion is since the 1980s. Yeah.
Yeah.
1980s is when that started. And it is a direct response to the women's liberation movement of the 1960s and 70s, the Equal Rights Amendment that died in the 70s.
Boo.
So let's
bring
keep women
back.
Down.
Yeah, always. That's what it's been always about.
And they were able to get the other bigots on board because at that same time, the racist assholes were looking for a new home after they got pushed out of the Democratic Party, and they all found a home in the Republican, in the GOP.
Yeah, I don't call them that anymore. I refuse to recall. Of course, I shouldn't call them Republicans either, because they do not represent Republicans.
They're theocrats.
Yep, just the theocrats.
This is crazy evangelical theocrats. And like, Catholics are horribly anti-abortion and anti-contraceptive and grotesque. But at least they're consistent.
Right.
They believe that God chooses when life happens. So God chooses if you get pregnant. God chooses if the baby comes to term. And God chooses when you die. So Catholics that are at least in line with Vatican doctrine, dogma... Catholics do not have doctrine, they have dogma.
Oh, okay.
There is a difference. They are opposed to assisted suicide, and they are opposed to execution. The state should not kill because God chooses when you die.
But wouldn't the state killing somebody be all part of God's plan?
Modern Catholics are anti-death penalty.
Good. I mean, if you're going to be consistent. They also believe in taking care of kids who are impoverished.
Yes, and they take...
orphanages and such. That's...
And Catholics tend to vote in favor of welfare programs. St. Alphonsus, the Catholic health system here in Southern Idaho, was supporting Medicaid expansion as part of helping the poor. Catholics at least have some consistency in being wrong.
Yeah.
Evangelicals are not consistent with it, which demonstrates that the only thing they care about is suppressing women. And that is fucked up.
That is really fucked up. Yeah, keep the rich rich, mm-hmm. and keep women and brown people down.
Oh, it's even simpler than that. Keep rich, white Christian men in power. That is the only thing they care about. And I'm not even sure how much they care about whether or not they're Christian.
Obviously, because...
Donald Trump. Yeah.
Ugh.
The bigots have aligned.
Like planets. They have aligned.
Yeah.
And spells Armageddon.
So this is... Everybody saw this coming when Kavanaugh got on the court.
How did he get confirmed?
Because...
I just realized I don't remember them confirming him.
No, he got confirmed. It is because Mitch McConnell exercised the nuclear option.
That's right. Okay, that sounds familiar.
Now, Democrats were the first to exercise the nuclear option when Mitch McConnell, as minority leader, wouldn't let any of the Senate Republicans vote in favor of any Obama's lower court appointees.
Dude, McConnell is just an asshole.
Oh yeah, he is.
Obstructionist asshole.
It sucks, and I look at it and I see from a policy standpoint where the decision making needs to be, and on this is on anything, it needs to be focused on harm reduction. And if your goal is to reduce harm, then granted there is a calculus that has to happen. And I would definitely say in terms of calculus on harm, the fact that even the Alabama bill allows for abortion in cases of protecting the mother's life, that means the mother's life has more value than the fetus's life. And logically and absolutely that makes sense because the mother is a live human being and a fetus has not been born yet.
Certainly can't think on a certain level.
Yeah. And that... woman could have more babies. And generally speaking, if the mother's life is at risk, the fetus is going to die too when the mom dies. So they definitely seem to recognize that there is a difference in value there. And if you look at history, abortion is not anything new. It's been happening for millennia. If safe, legal, modern medical ways go away, women will just fall back on the old ways. And many of them will die. And if
I'm going to start walking around town with a bloody hanger.
Yeah.
Smack old white guys with it.
And if we don't want coat hanger abortions, keep them legal.
and medical and yep. safe.
Yeah. That's how you reduce harm.
And then if you really, really care about those little fetuses getting the most out of life, prevent the fetus from ever being conceived in mm-hmm. an unwanted situation and promote birth control.
Yep.
Free. Just throw it, give it, put it in the water. Make people have to opt out of it. That's what I would like.
Make contraceptives as free and easy to get as possible. Make comprehensive sex ed readily available. And it fits with the difference between how Democrats and Republicans handle almost every issue. It works with economics as well. Democrats want fewer abortions and do it by trying to decrease the demand for abortions by decreasing the amount of unwanted pregnancies.
There will always be a need for abortions.
Mm-hmm.
That's an unfortunate truth. Banning them isn't going to make them disappear. But I have a feeling we're kind of preaching to the choir on this one.
We are.
This is just our arguments for it. But
in the rhetoric on it, I would definitely encourage focusing on harm reduction. Yeah. I think it's worth bringing up coat hanger abortions. Because
I honestly think people don't believe that those ever happened. I think these old white men have their head in the sand and say, no, that didn't happen.
And before
that's the stuff of horror stories. No woman would actually do that to herself.
And before coat hangers, it was random sticks from toxic trees.
Or herbs that you put into a tea that would, you know, that's
really nasty.
That's the stuff that was passed down
yeah.
from woman to woman and turned certain women into witches kind of things because they knew how to give abortions. And they were valuable and they were still, you know, needed part of the community, but they were ostracized for it. Same thing still happening.
So, yeah, focus on harm reduction. And I think we've talked about this one enough. Lauren, do you have any other points you feel like you need to
fuck
make?
The patriarchy, burn it all down.
Okay. Let's go ahead and take an ad break.
All right.
All right. So for the people listening on the main podcast feed, this was recorded as part of episode 300 live stream. This was hour 4. And Mary is joining us.
Hi, everybody.
Mary
move the mic
one.
Closer to you. And
how's
perfect.
That?
Perfect.
Is that good?
Yep. All so right. I've got Lauren with me.
Hi.
And Aaron is taking a break this hour. We've got Rocco. Kylie is with a babysitter. And Mary has one baby at home and one
on the way.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yay.
Thanks.
You made a thing.
October 30th. I'm due October 30th. Is that near you?
Halloween baby. Oh my god. Kylie is November 30th, so I missed that, but at the same time it was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was the only person I think on your entire Facebook reveal that gave you crap for it. Everybody's like, congratulations. Oh, it's a miracle. Oh, beautiful baby. And I'm like, yeah, congratulations, you dumb.
Well, doesn't it feel like we literally just did this, though? Like, that's how I feel. I'm like, wasn't I still doing this when I got pregnant again? Like, it feels like we just had babies.
Yeah.
Because our babies are only a couple weeks apart.
You're a month apart, mm-hmm, and yeah. Your first time on the show, you were trying, we were trying.
Yeah.
And then
we did the whole,
and now you're,
we did the whole journey.
You've got
like
another one
in step with each other.
So what I have to ask, because you did yours at St. Luke's, mm-hmm, and we had Kylie at St. Al's,
mm-hmm,
St. Al's being the place that is officially anti contraceptive and anti all of, you know, what basically anti women's healthcare, spent like almost all of the training we had to do. And it was like, 4 or 5 videos, and every single encounter with a medical professional of any kind was, you realize that if you don't do something to prevent pregnancy, it will happen immediately. Did they not do that at St. Luke's?
They did. No, I like when, as soon as I was like had my baby, my doctor was like, I will see you in such and such a number of weeks and we'll get you on birth control. Like, well,
okay.
Yeah. So, but this was a planned baby, if that's where we're going with that.
Okay.
Yeah, we were like, well, we want him to do, it took almost a year to get pregnant with Blythe.
Yeah.
And we wanted these two to be like about 2 years apart. So we're like, well, then it makes sense to start in January and it'll take this amount of time.
Okay. And then
but
it was a little
stuck
faster.
In January. So like first yeah. try. So now they're a little closer together than we, I think, originally anticipated, but it'll be good. I'm glad they're okay. going to be kind of like
2 years, a good
closer.
Gap. Mm-hmm. I always thought 4 years would be a good gap. Because then the older kid's a little bit older, then they can like kind of understand what's going on a little bit better and help out and not regress in any behaviors. But 2 years is good too. And there's a lot of people who do 2 years.
Okay. So we have some chat comments, going far enough up. Sojo, my bird is a better cat. She meows.
Oh
yeah. Rocco just barks. Colleen, my bird is messy as a guinea pig.
Aw, I like
girl,
where this is
my
going.
Ballet, me and Kylie share birthdays. Holy
November
shit.
November 30th?
That's
such
amazing.
A good birthday. She was just a few hours away from being a December baby, but I'm kind of glad that she wasn't. Well, I was kind of disappointed because, you know, birthstone would have been so much
yes,
citrine.
But,
because
Lauren,
of my citrine. But
you it would have been a C-section if it had gone on a couple more, like 3 more hours.
If it, yeah. Plus, November is not quite as heavy on the holiday
She's
pressure.
Close to Thanksgiving, but not ever going to be on Thanksgiving. It's not a, but not close bad. Enough to fit in with visiting grandparents for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
For a birthday yep. with grandparent presents, which, yeah. oh,
and
that's Blythe amazing.
And Blythe was
January 11th.
11th.
January 11th. So
I knew there was a
right
one in there,
the
and
holidays.
I can't remember which one. I'm like, it wasn't January 1st, but.
Okay, so more on the chat. We got, she hates me. This is Colleen about her bird. I got her too late to bond. She's pretty yellow, though. Kelly Dull,
share
Aaron's
picture.
Co-worker, one another, was born the 29th. My son is the 26th. Yay, costume parties every year. From Colleen, I'm going to hold about a time from 0 to about 70 between my children.
All right.
Okay.
No children.
And Fat Girl Ballet, I hate Topaz too.
Oh, well, that's too bad. I like Topaz. I really like Tanzanite. Yeah, that's the good shit.
Is Topaz November?
Topaz is December.
Oh, that's when my birthday is. I guess I'm not really a birthday.
It's either Tanzanite or Topaz. November is either Topaz or Citrine, but Topaz not so much.
You went with Citrine on Kylie.
Citrine. And then... Mine, April, ours is Diamond, which I hate because Diamond is clear and boring. There's no way I could ever afford a diamond big enough to have the rainbow sparkly goodness that Diamond is known for. So screw it. I'll stick with the colored gemstones.
Colleen, just in case I wasn't clear, I have no children and don't want them either.
Right. Yeah, I got that.
Kelly, 10 years isn't bad. Big brother loved little brother.
Well, we're very excited for you, Mary.
Thank you. Yep.
Yes.
I'm very excited.
And yeah. Did you keep any of the baby stuff?
We kept all of the major things.
Okay.
So we're set.
The major appliances.
Exactly. Like all of this, the co-sleeper, the rockers, all of that stuff. We gave the clothes away because we're like, who knows when we're going to have another kid. So no sense.
What gender it's going to
yeah.
be or...
So that all we all gave away. So all we need is a double stroller. And I think we're
yeah.
set.
Man, that's exciting.
Yeah,
that's a fun thing to shop for. Oh, I've been shopping for strollers recently.
And that's one of the crazy things with clothes is you think for babies, it doesn't matter if it's a boy or a girl. It does because the sizes are different. Because
are they different size ones?
Oh, yeah.
Boys,
I did not know that.
Boys
are bigger.
Boys under the age of 3 have the highest testosterone level they will have until puberty. Like, we're talking an order of magnitude higher than girls at that age.
I had no idea. That's super
this
interesting.
Is shock. I was shocked when I saw that in the reference ranges at work. I work for a medical laboratory in laboratory information
yeah,
systems.
Yeah, I guess that would be a good place to gather that kind of information.
And I saw this piece of detail, and it was like, holy crap, there actually is a significant difference, yeah. and it results in significantly larger sizes.
Well, we just actually found out we are having a boy.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, so we... But my girl was enormous. So if this is a bigger baby, I don't know what I'm going to
do.
Doesn't mean you're going to have a bigger baby.
Birth size doesn't matter. It's how much growth will happen post-birth.
Yeah.
Your boy will likely grow at a much faster pace than your girl did.
And we also, this is also really, I think this is a really bizarre thing. We have some boy pajamas for Blythe, like that, like we picked up at yard sales and stuff that are like technically, they're infants and it's pajamas. So who cares? But they zip up the other side from her girl pajamas, just like women's shirts, which I think is the most bizarre.
Stupid fashion.
Oh, that is weird.
What a weird rule. Like, we've only got two or three, so maybe it's a fluke. But when we first got them, I was like, it was noticeably different that they zip up the long zipper leg is on the other side.
Oh my God, you're right.
Yeah.
Colleen asked, is she a comedian too?
Guess what?
I am.
That's, yep.
It's the theme.
There's a balancing act on this show. Dustin's kind of, we're like a mullet. Dustin's business, we got to have some party in the back. So we get comedians. And plus, you know, when we brought Erin on, she knows comedians. So makes sense.
Okay, so I am educated enough to know that I am not actually a theologian because I don't have a PhD in theology or a THD in theology. And I actually know that THD is a thing. But I have been told on podcasts that I am the closest thing to a theologian they have had on the show. That is true, because I actually have a degree in it. It helps to balance that out with somebody who has practiced being funny, which I am not.
Which sometimes can lend itself to being hilarious, but
I have learned a lot, like being on this show. You've definitely taught me stuff I didn't know about religion. I don't know if I'm particularly off the cuff funny is the only problem. I hope like it's not, you're not leaning on me a lot for that. Cause my funny is generally very planned out when I'm going to be on stage.
No, we don't expect people to be performing when they're on here. It just happens to be that.
I bring my balls and juggle and.
Yeah.
entertain everybody.
You know, even the
That's what she said. That's we just, there's a lot of comedians out there who are atheists.
There are.
That's how they deal with their shit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if for no other reason, comedians have a tendency to have a little bit better mic technique than the average person.
Oh, yeah.
Which means less editing on my part.
Oh, my God. You that are. Probably. You just, yep. You have to ruin everything.
I said if for no other reason, but also comedians have a tendency, even when not being funny, because a comedian being funny on a podcast specifically is, you're looking for an improv comedian who can take anything and turn it funny. There aren't a lot of those here, and even the alumnus of Improv Party of Five, or was it no Sausage Party of Five?
Sausage Party of Five, yeah.
Which we've had at least one member of on the show, don't necessarily do good at turning these shitty stories we talk about to funny. But comedians are a little bit better than the average person at figuring out how to at least say something interesting and entertaining. And Mary has been really good at saying insightful and entertaining things, if not funny.
Oh, thank you. Thanks.
Plus we had babies.
Made my day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man. I'm just gonna remember that atheist comedy show for the rest of my life. That's going to be, you know, that was just amazing that we both went through our little pregnancy journey together.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that. Like we talking about it afterwards, like neither of us wanted kids. We both kind of got like, you know, we were pretty
trying,
determined. Yeah. And then
weird.
We were both trying. We're both in our 30s. Like my sister-in-law actually asked me, she's very Mormon. Most of my family is. I was at a family party right before this and she's like, so you're doing a podcast. What is this podcast about? And I was like trying very like delicately to explain what it is I do when I come and do this without like being like, oh, well, we just, you know, talk about religious stuff in the news and how crazy it is. Like,
yeah.
But I did say, I was like, well, one thing we talk a lot about becoming parents and being more secular people. It's like kind of the nice way I said it. Because that is, we do talk about that a lot. It's kind of our,
that's a nice segue. Do you celebrate Easter?
Yeah. Weirdly, it's actually like one of the one family events that I go to every year on my mom's side and actually out of both sides is we go,
so
my
like
aunt does an Easter egg hunt.
Where you only go to church for Christmas and Easter.
But it's all like none of the religious stuff, obviously.
Easter
but my
bunny,
aunt
eggs,
does a big
chocolate.
Easter egg hunt and we go every year and we always took Robert's kids and we took Blythe this year and then we do brunch with my in-laws. Like, so it is one of the few I don't know, like
it's a springtime it's family get together.
Mm-hmm. It's nice because it's like a low pressure holiday. You don't have to buy gifts or you can just like go enjoy the nice weather and the tulips.
Okay, so Colleen brought up in chat
through the tulips.
Lauren had one of the best jokes in the last couple episodes I've listened to. Swiss cheese.
Oh my God, right? Ah, made me laugh so hard.
So, okay, go.
Yeah, that's probably a hella old joke, too.
This is a callback.
Somebody had to have come up with that first.
This is now a callback to episode 300, which by the time this hits the feed is much after. One of the reasons why I brought Lauren on the show was because she had a different background being raised in Unitarian Universalist. But then I kept bringing her back on because she provided kind of that color comedy.
Ah, comedy. I'm not exactly witty, but...
But you were funnier than the rest of us.
Yeah, yeah. Wesley sucked at being funny. And you're just so...
I'm beige.
Beige.
That's who I am.
You're beige.
I accept that. That is okay.
Your coffin will be khaki.
No, I want it to be natural wood color. Or an urn is fine as well.
Okay, okay.
That is gray. Or dark slate.
Slate. That's awesome.
That was the color of gray that the Chrysler Motor Corporation that was mid-bankruptcy in 2009 had available of the 2009 Dodge Ram, which I purchased at the time. Dark slate.
All right.
Yep.
What's the color of our car?
The Santa Fe?
Yeah.
It's like a baby blue.
No, it's not. It's something icy. I can't remember.
Know anyway. The name of it. I don't I care about that. I didn't buy it new. That was a used car.
Oh, so good, though.
It is a wonderful soccer mom / adventure mobile.
Is that why you're dressed up in floral? Is because you were at a family Easter gathering?
Yes, we did the whole... We're also not like... Blythe has like two... we're just not like fluffy dress kind of people. But my mom got her like a year ago, got her this like pink dress that was a 12 month.
Ah.
So we put her... It's like this... It was like super frilly and...
Photo
a
op.
Bow. And yeah, it was... So we were very Easter. We were the most Easter people at the party.
Well, that's
sure.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Blythe is a little... Should be a little model.
She is so pretty.
So cute. I've been taking Kylie out hat shopping, even though she refuses to wear hats. And I put them on her. She's really cute for just a second. Got to grab that picture. And then... Yep. Then onto the floor it goes.
That's Blythe in shoes. Like, not...
Oh, yeah. Kylie doesn't do shoes either.
I'm glad it's warming up because now people will not give me as much shit for not having shoes on my baby.
Yeah.
It's like, she doesn't like shoes and socks. Yes, her feet are cold. She's aware of it.
Okay, so the change I made when I restarted the stream right before I took my break.
Yep.
It's now reporting stream status is good.
Oh, excellent.
The health is good.
Healthy.
Yes,
it's a healthy stream.
This makes me happy.
It sounds like a urinary healthy stream.
It is something that you would discuss with a urologist.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, though, it's
prostate.
Something you talk about with Google, since Google knows all.
This is true.
It makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, we got some discussion questions. Would the world truly be better off without religion? Does religion bring order/stability to society, or does it bring chaos, upheaval, violence, and bloodshed?
I think that the world would be better off without religion, but I don't think that it would fully eliminate the issues that religion causes, because I think there's a lot of human nature in that. Like, we'll always find a thing to fight about, or a thing to separate us from other people, or a thing to validate our bad decisions or evil actions. And right now, the thing that we use for that a lot of the time is religion. I think that not raising people to think that way or believe these things would help eliminate that. But it's always going to be a problem. You know, you're always going to have genocide and mm-hmm. ethnic cleansing and, you know, people validating really bad, horrible things. They'll just come up with another something else to do.
Yeah, I'm kind of the opinion that in the large scheme of things, there are a shocking number of people who are borderline sociopaths. I'm going to exclude true sociopaths from this, but borderline on the sociopath scale, that need religion to keep them from doing horrible things. I don't want to take that away from people who need it to keep them from raping. And my source on this is the fact that so many people ask, so if there's no God, then I could just go out raping and robbing people, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, you can't do that. And if you even think that's a realistic question, you should probably hang on to your religion for the rest of your life, because apparently you need an imaginary cop watching you at every moment.
But I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. I don't know. I think that there's more people out there who do bad things in the name of religion than don't do bad things because of their religion.
Now,
not only do they do bad things in the name of their religion, but they do bad things and then feel
justified,
not justified, but feel like dealing with those things with their God is good enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like the sex abuse in the Catholic Church. My guess is that a lot of people who have done those horrible, heinous things have prayed to God about it and felt some sort of relief from that.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of actually having to deal with what they did.
Right. And so, like, I want to adjust what I said with, I am not saying that taking that away from the world would be bad. I'm saying taking that away from certain people who need that to keep from becoming worse than they are could be bad in the short term. I personally think in the long term, everybody basing their lives on reality would be a complete benefit for everything and everyone in the world.
Reality is overrated.
No, it's not. No.
No, this is my personal opinion.
Policy should be based on reality, and policy has a tendency to drive... Regulation and laws have a tendency to restrict personal behavior.
I also think religion, it slows down progress.
Oh, definitely.
Because the more people who are worried about living for an afterlife, that means fewer people are living for the future of this.
Yeah, who are actively seeking a way to bring the afterlife closer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and it gets even worse than that is with groups like, two great examples that are dealing with it actively right now is the Adventist Church and the Methodist Church, where the church in America is trying to progress, with the Adventist Church trying to open up ordination to women, and the Methodist Church trying to become more open to gay members. They're proselytizing in the 50s and 60s exported the American version of that church at that time period to places like Africa and South America and Central America, Eastern Europe a bit later. And that had the effect of basically stalling the people that got brought into the church at that time and that they recruited to that snapshot of American culture. And as a result, when the U.S. Adventist Church tried to open up women's ordination, make it a local issue, the response from the World Church was, oh, hell no, that is not biblical. Because mostly it was people in Latin America and Africa and the like that said no. And when the Methodist Church opened up the question of, should we allow gay marriage within the church, the answer was no, we should stick with the traditional plan, not make any changes. And that came from Africa and Latin America and Eastern Europe, those same places that had been basically getting a snapshot of the church at that time.
And dragging the rest of them behind.
It stunts like any other kind of imperialism, it stunts the cultural growth.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's there's a sort of like nobility within most religions in like not changing your mind. Like you're a more noble person if you stick to your original thought on something. And that's why religions are always the last, like the Mormon church is a good example of this. They're always the last people to do the thing that everyone else has done, like letting black people have the priesthood. They're the last ones because sticking to their guns made them feel like this noble, we're being persecuted, but we can't be changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Eventually they do.
And they get off on that.
Yeah. We actually, my husband and I, Robert, we watched a... It was only an hour-long documentary about the FLDS last night. It took us probably two hours. What?
Was it the Hulu show?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. We watched that one specifically because I was raised... You guys know I was raised Mormon. Mm-hmm. Not FLDS, but Mormon. But it took us probably 2 hours to get through it because he kept pausing it being like, is that a thing? Like, do they believe that? And I was like, they believe that. And the Mormons believe that. Literally, the one difference is that the Mormons don't have multiple wives anymore. Other than that, the religions are... identical, like what they believe, but they interviewed this woman in it, and that was like her whole thing. Like the apostates had come back to this community after they took Warren Jeffs away, and they were trying to like stimulate the economy and like rebuild these homes and help this community. And the FLDS were like, no, we don't want anything to do with you. Like they were told not to interact with apostates.
And so
they're like, there was like they felt, you could tell like she felt noble, like she was doing this great and godly thing by not doing the thing that was better for her community, because you can't change your mind. And like you mm-hmm. said, that slows down social progress if it takes generations and generations and generations for people to start accepting things we should have accepted.
Yeah. And just look what it's done to the U.S. politics.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Okay. So from the chat, from Colleen, but is a mental health care for all a better option? Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely 100%.
That's not even a question.
I like including, is she saying like including like mental health care in like a universal health care situation? Is that
better mental health care? Well, so part of the JFK called for the end of the asylums and the establishment of a replacement system.
Because they were awful.
Because the asylums were awful and inhumane. The asylums were ended on schedule. No replacement was created.
So mental health was now treated the same as any other medical condition.
Yeah.
But still had the stigma of, you know, if you're crazy, you're going to go to the asylum. So nobody ever talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got, you know, people who have severe... or even just minor mental health problems that have, you can go to your generic doctor, but they can barely help.
Oh, for a great example on how broken the mental health system in the U.S. is, we had a change in insurance at the end of Lauren's pregnancy. And at the hospital, the social worker came in and did a postpartum depression risk assessment on Lauren.
Standard.
Which is standard. And the social worker was very concerned because Lauren had, 9 or 10 of the 12 risk factors?
Oh, yeah. I've got a long history of depression and anxiety. So I was like a prime candidate to watch for postpartum.
You're basically off the charts.
Yeah.
Well, you'd already scheduled the appointment with... the preferred provider for the new insurance mental health system. And it was, a 3-month wait?
Yeah.
So even if you are high risk for postpartum depression...
it's not like they could just shuffle you right in.
Immediately postpartum. Yeah. Big fucking deal. Wait in the goddamn line. Because yeah, there's not enough providers.
What do they call that in the ER when they divvy up who needs...
triage. Search?
Okay, so realistically, I didn't need to be triaged at a high priority because I didn't have postpartum. I was very lucky. No,
realistically, you should have been triaged to the top of the list because you were at very high risk of postpartum. And if you can prevent it,
that
increases survival for mom and baby.
Yeah, that's true. So I should have been, but it's first come, first serve for that kind of healthcare.
It's all a waiting list. Okay, so next question.
He obviously feels very strongly about...
I do. I am still angry about it.
Well, it just occurred to me, nobody ever asked me after I had a baby. Not my doctor and not Blythe's.
Really?
It just occurred to me. I was also like, I was great. I felt fine after having her. But when I was like, wow, somebody actually talked to you about it. That's nice.
Not just talked to us, but we're like concerned and we're...
Yeah, no, nobody even brought it up with me now that I'd never considered that as odd until just this very second. I'm like, somebody should have
asked. I don't know if Lauren got asked about it because it was standard at St. Al's. And there is a part of me that does believe, probably because of propaganda I get at work, that St. Al's provides superior care to St. Luke's, even though St. Luke's has superior results.
And a longer history. And
which I also get as part of the propaganda at work. They have better results. We need to do better. But a part of me is torn on, did the social worker just do the rounds through the postpartum ward and talk to every new mom there to do a risk assessment for postpartum, which would be awesome to think? Or did she go through the postpartum ward and look for who had an ICD-10 code on record for depression and talk to only those moms?
I hope they talk to everybody because
I think
that should be... I mean, I had a physical exam a few weeks after I had a baby where, you know, everything physically got checked out and they gave me birth control. And so I do feel like maybe my mental health should have been a part of that. And I don't know why it wasn't.
What about the major, the 3-month, the 6-month, the 9-month doctor's appointments? Did you have to fill out a postpartum depression, mental health? They had me fill one out every time.
They didn't. Everything was
at
about...
Pete's?
You mean Blythe's?
Yeah, at Pete's.
Blythe's.
They're checking. Shit. They were checking my mental health as much as they were checking Kylie's physical health.
No, nothing.
No, you got flagged.
I got flagged. Yeah.
You got flagged. You were getting extra care.
I'm special.
Despite the fact that taken care of at behavioral health. And in those early checkups, you were already waiting to get an appointment with behavioral health.
I was very lucky. I was a very happy pregnancy.
Yeah.
I did a lot better mentally. Both the year, you know, the 9 months I was pregnant and the year after. It's only recently that I've started having bad days again. And I honestly think that's because February sucks. And that's why it's the shortest month, because people cannot stand to have another day of February.
Yeah.
February.
I always get bad anxiety. When I'm pregnant, it completely goes away. It's a really weird...
It's a hormonal
thing.
Yep.
But
yeah.
I feel terrible in every other way, but my anxiety goes away. So I guess there's that.
There's that. Yep.
If you look at the data on it, it is anxiety, but every mental health measurement metric is worse during a pregnancy from a statistically significant, it's been studied standpoint. I know my sister has always been at her best mental health wise during her pregnancies. Lauren was far more stable on less medication during her pregnancy than prior or a year since. There are anecdotes of it being better. And what the study suggests is in like 25% of cases, mental health improves during a pregnancy.
There's something hormonal that just kind of supplements those chemicals you're missing, I guess.
But for the rest of the population, it is worse and often far, far worse.
There are some shows on like Netflix and stuff about moms who are dealing with postpartum, and I can't watch them. They make, too real, I guess. It's like, no, I feel good. I don't want to be dragged down emotionally with this person's baggage. Oh, God. How are you feeling, by the way?
Good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Yeah, I'm just right at the tail end of my first trimester, so I'm getting to that point where I feel shitty less of the time.
Right before you start to feel shitty in different ways.
Right.
But yeah. Second pregnancy, so probably not as bad.
No. Well, I actually think physically it's been harder, but mentally it's been easier. Like,
okay.
With Blythe, it was a huge lifestyle change. I went from like Robert and I having all of this freedom and doing what we wanted to do and like going out and drinking. And
it's called Dinks, playing. Double yeah. income, no kids.
Yeah. More money.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, but now, but this one, because my lifestyle has already been how it is, you know, 2 years of living the same way. It's, and I also know how it ends. With Blythe, I was like, I don't know if I made the right decision here because you don't have the baby yet. But with him, I'm like a lot more.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, I know. Very I know nice. At the end of it. I know it'll eventually be over.
Nausea hasn't been too bad?
It's been bad. I mean, not awful, but definitely like consistently there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. And a few minutes after that, Aaron will be filling in for Lauren. All right, so from chat, from Kelly, I think everyone needs to quit judging and get to know an individual rather than making expectations based on what you know about them from afar. Yeah, that would probably be
I mean, that's why the world should work. But realistically, you know, if we're talking about like the mental health stuff, those flags are there for a reason. You know, if you've got a history of something,
well, and from
it is nice to know that stuff before you get to know the person.
From a would the world be better without religion standpoint? Yes, if people were less judgmental, that would be much better. And if there was less religion, people would be less judgmental.
No, I think they would be just as judgmental, but in different ways. That's like, okay, what
my
if
experience
you,
with religious what, people begs to differ.
What if you were to solve all religious tension in the world? Would war go away?
No.
Because
there'd be less, but it would
I
go
don't
away.
Think there would be less. I think something else would supplant it. Like sports. I honestly think that if people didn't have religion or natural resources, they would still go to war over sports.
Oh, territorial ambition.
Or something.
That was,
historical
grudges. I made the point when you were in the bathroom. I was like, I think that it would be less, but it would still be there because it's human nature to find something to be mad at another group about. I also have this... like the white supremacist, the white nationalist movement that's getting really big right now. Like, I wish I could sit down with all of them and be like, what do you think's going to happen if you get your way? Like, if you eliminate all of the groups that you think are causing problems and the world doesn't become perfect, then what do? You find a group within that group that who's next. And eventually you're going to be on that list. Like, it's human nature. You're going to keep finding somebody to be the problem until everyone's gone. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's...
Yeah.
I mean, it's just in our nature.
We are where we are now in human history because we have systematically gotten rid of large groups of people already.
Right. So
I'm going to go feed Rocco because it's a little early, but he's loud.
Good call. Colleen's response to that was probably that's why he said some people need religion. If it wasn't for religion, people would find different groupings like humanist versus utilitarian to kill each other over. Group A thinks everyone needs to get along and be tolerant, and group B thinks you must do what is best for the average happiness of the society. And yeah, people can figure out how to fight over that. Kelly in the chat said, by the way, I'm Easter shopping and listening to this in the store without headphones. Your conversation is making people talk. That is bold. Liz just said that's inconsiderate. Liz has not been introduced on camera, but or on mic. But yeah, that
Jason's wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I know that's what I said about Lauren too. Lauren, Dustin's wife and mother, but also her own person. Don't identify her by her attachment to the male figure. No, that's very right. We are individuals and our own person.
From Sojo to the judgmental point, I feel much less judgmental and much more compassionate since I've been figuring out most of my post indoctrination ethics. Yes, humanism is great. Yep. Less judgmental would be good. And from Kelly, this is nature versus nurture issue. You can be raised a way that has beliefs in which you are brought up in. or you can be raised anyway, but have beliefs in which you are brought up in. I am a great example on nature versus nurture. My nature won out. My nurture was very conservative Adventist. I defeated that. It happens all the time.
Yeah, I was the same. I was raised super Mormon. That was my nurture. But I think it doesn't take more than a little bit of exposure to the world to kind of start drifting away from that. And then, eventually have a hard leave. But that is part of the nurture, I think, is they nurture you within this box. And they're like, don't ever leave. Don't look outside the box. Don't look at anything out there, or else you might... It's like, maybe you need a better argument if you can't even look at the other information without the risk of leaving.
Yeah.
Maybe you need better information.
Okay, so one thing that's kind of fun with the people in the chat. Kelly, Aaron sees at work during the week.
Yes.
Every day.
Just about every day except for Wednesdays. Yes.
Sojo gives us money every month. And Colleen, I saw anytime I went to the dean's office at the seminary...
Because you were bad?
No, anytime I needed to do any business with the dean's office.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I was just bored and the conversations in the commons were just boring and getting so freaking, what's the right word? Tedious.
Mm-hmm.
I think I went in there sometimes just because it was less bad than the commons during breaks. Colleen was always a breath of fresh air, and Colleen, I'm glad we've been able to talk since then. You're cool. Yeah. Yes. And the fact that you're watching this live stream and you're still watching 4 hours in is awesome.
Wow, just like me, 24 hours. Dedication. That's nice.
Yeah.
Plus, it's nice to be able to have feedback live. Instead of putting something out and we just talk and then maybe we'll hear back.
Kelly said they think I'm on a phone call on speaker.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Except for you're not talking and you're on a conference call.
From Colleen. Geez, thanks. No, seriously, Colleen, you were always a pleasure to deal with.
A pleasure to deal with.
Yeah. Whenever I had to go into the administrative office of the seminary,
I know, but I'm not
she was always
with.
A
not
she
deal
was the
with.
She was
as
the person running the desk.
People right.
She was always a pleasure to deal with.
No, I think you mean like it was always a pleasure to
like interact with.
Interact with. Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah. That's a better word. That's like when, you know, you said, who's going to annoy us on chat? Not annoy, who's going to interact with us more on chat?
Yeah. Colleen's already won a copy of the book.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it's a kind of a tie between Kelly and Sojo.
Yeah.
And from Colleen again, while I was working. Yeah, you were. I hope I wasn't that much of an ass.
Oh, do you want to open that up? He was doing real good. Is it bad that I'm like, I just want the frosting off of that cake? The frosting's
the frosting's
good.
The good part.
Yeah, exactly. The cream cheese frosting's my favorite. Yeah. Like I could do less cake, more frosting.
Mm. I am the same. Yeah, I'm the same. Like if you could take the cake and just cut it right through the center.
Yeah.
And then I could have the top half of
right.
the cake.
Cupcakes. Right.
Yeah, like
that,
cupcakes.
And that's why I love cupcakes more, and then especially stuffed cupcakes. So that have like something in the middle. So it's still, again, less cake.
Aaron, yeah.
Aaron,
more frosting. Which when I go to Portland, I'm going to this place called Saints Cupcakes because they have exactly that.
Is it better than Voodoo cupcakes?
Well, the Voodoo donuts and I don't like donuts
shit.
Very
How
much.
How did I say that?
Voodoo cupcakes. Wow. I don't know because you've been drinking.
Yeah.
And you're tired. We've got like, you know, an hour and 15 minutes left to go. We got this.
Yep. Okay. So another chat or discussion question. What are your general thoughts on humanism? Is humanism or being a humanist an acceptable lifestyle for an atheist?
Sure.
Lauren, you are in the peanut gallery right now.
Well, I mean, we can. I just took the spot so I could fill the spot. Lauren can come back and t- tell her opinion.
She's so eating cake.
Yeah, now she's in. Yeah. She's like, no, I'm cake.
Well,
now.
Maybe everybody wants to see her washing. Like Jinx. Yeah, right.
Mary, go first.
I mean, I know lots of atheists who identify as humanists. I would say. I mean, not a lot, but it comes up. I don't see why they wouldn't be incompatible. I would be interested to like hear, like to, I don't know if, does anybody feel like they aren't incompatible, and what would the argument for that be? Cause maybe there's just an aspect of both of these that I'm not considering.
Okay,
but
so
to me, it just seems like, yeah, yeah.
Humanism absolutely. Was first an idea during the Counter-Reformation in Europe as part of the Catholic response to the Reformation.
Right. Would you? Yeah.
Lauren asked how I know this.
Because he got a degree in it, Lauren.
Yes, I took a class on this. And it became popular in the free will Protestant traditions. Anglicanism picked up a little bit of it. Methodism definitely picked up on it. And they mostly lost it as it has evolved.
Mm-hmm.
Modern humanism is capital H humanism, not lowercase h humanism. Christian humanism has a tendency to be lowercase h. You are a humanist. You care about the well-being of humans. And you are a Christian. Capital H humanism is secular humanism. It means for the sake of human well-being, you think that humans' basic needs should be taken care of and that human happiness should be improved.
Mm-hmm.
Just general well-being should be improved.
And that is the humanism we are talking about, is the capital H, I assume.
Yes.
So, I mean, I think that's a lot.
It requires atheism. Capital H humanism requires atheism. As part of the definition, it is for the sake of the good of humans, not for the glory of God. It ends up being definitional.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that's part, like, kind of aspect I was talking about how things get slowed down, like socially with religion, because there is that, like, every good thing we do is for the next life, for mm-hmm. the glory of God. I think with atheism and humanism, it's about what you can do to make things better for tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And if everyone had that mentality, how much further would we be?
Now, I'm going to counter this with the last 10 years where people have, and this is moving past the humanist versus utilitarian debate, where utilitarianism is a atheistic moral philosophy about raising the average happiness, not improving happiness for specific people. It's just raising the average, and whatever you can do to raise the average up, the better. The new question on it is humanism speciesist? And do non-human animals need some of those rights too?
Yes. I mean, what are you trying to...
I don't know what the question was specifically asking.
Well, I mean, if we're thinking about like the good of the planet and the good of just where we're at, of course, then I think everybody needs to be looking at everything works within each other, right? And I mean, if we talk about climate change and we're talking about... I don't know. I'm getting tired too.
You're the biologist.
I am the biologist. I mean, and now I'm at a loss for words because all I can think of is like, of course, like everybody should be thinking about these things. So having a healthy planet, having a healthy ecosystem is going to help humans and help everything in general.
Yeah, I can't see a reality where everyone's working to make the world better for humans, right, and that somehow like is detrimental to all rabbits. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I don't think we can all be working to make the world a better place mm-hmm. for people, and that is like negatively affecting other species. Right. Like, if we want the world to be better for people, we have to treat the earth better, which is, I mean, you think how many species are going extinct because of bad human activity.
Right.
But that's also creating a bad planet for humans to be on. So if we correct that, we're also doing good for other animals.
Right.
And if the question is like, do rabbits have all the same rights as humans? Like, no, but they also don't really need this, all the same rights as humans.
Right. Well, then we're doing that thing where we make, and I can never say the word correctly, then we're making it so humanizing animals.
Anthropomorphizing. Yeah. That sounds right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just always have to slow myself down.
Now, on the other side, there's, I asked a question, back in my blogging days, I asked a question about, is it okay to be eating cephalopods because of the amount of intelligence that they represent?
Oh, they're so delicious.
Because calamari is delicious.
Right.
And I got a response from a friend from college who's actually now a biology professor. His response was, we don't eat species that are closely related to ourselves because, including our own species, because of disease risk.
Right.
And that is obvious. We don't eat a lot of other species because of, like, higher order species because of they are endangered and eating them would lead to their extinction.
Right.
And a lot of people suffer from an overly exaggerated sense of kin selection.
Mm-hmm.
That feels awfully utilitarian to me. I can relate to people who have serious concerns about whales and dolphins in captivity as being horribly unethical. And stuff that is done with elephants in circuses is being horribly unethical.
And tigers and lions. I mean, we can look at zoos.
It's where do you draw the line?
Too. Yeah.
It gets really fuzzy and it's really difficult.
I mean, then
it
you is. Just have, yeah.
Yeah, I think we've ascribed like this hierarchy to life. Just throughout history of humans, that hierarchy has kind of like shifted and changed and evolved over time, and it will keep evolving. Like even 10 years ago, your average person wasn't super aware of like the orcas in captivity. Mm-hmm. And but now it's like a really common thing we talk about, and it will keep changing. But I think part of it is how much, like you said, how much intelligence do they
but what's
show?
That even mean?
And, but it's like I said, it is vague. There is no hard line between what is super important life and moderately important life.
Right.
And because like somebody kills, like poaches a lion and like we're all pissed off about it, but you can kill a whole family of ants in your kitchen and, you know, nobody bats an eyelash about it.
Ants are a different case because it is arguable as to whether an ant is even an individual because they are part of a communal organism.
I guess that's my whole point, though, is that we've ascribed this hierarchy and killing a lion is not cool. Killing ants, we're okay
with
it.
Yeah.
And that will continue to evolve. And I think it's a lot of it is cultural and it does have to do with how much it's like us and how intelligent it is.
I think there's also an element where it's just, lions are endangered, or at least they, as apex predators, there are few of them in the environment. So if you kill a lion, you are severely impacting the environment.
Which Mary did bring up that whole, she did say that point, which is the larger animals, right? You did say that. You did say larger animals are becoming extinct. I think with more knowledge too, you know, I think the thing is that if tomorrow someone came out with this very credible study about ants and why we shouldn't kill them and all the reasons why and listing them and why they're so good for our environment, then we might second guess ants. But also the thing is that like, even if we don't like ants, but now we're talking about pesticides. Now, what are pesticides doing to the bees and how do bees interact with our environment and how that helps us as humans? So I think,
let me flip this around on you.
Mm-hmm.
At the point that you have a sugar ant crawling on your baby.
I'm not saying anything.
It's all out the window.
I mean, sure.
You want them dead.
I'm not saying anything about whether, I think you're getting caught on the ant thing. What I'm trying to say is a bigger picture of,
we have them in our kitchen at this moment.
No, I get what you're saying. I totally understand. I fucking hate ants too. I think they're gross. But I think what we're talking about is, I mean, in the bigger picture of humanists and whether or not we're also thinking about putting this on the planet as a whole, and whether or not for the greater good and well-being of the human species, we are now finding out that, yes, we do need to, yes, we do need to think more about the species around us and more about our planet and what we're doing. Orcas, for instance, orcas in captivity. Now we're saying, like, that's not a great thing, but there's also now orcas dying. Mm-hmm. There are whole pods that are dying. And why are they dying? They're dying because there's not enough salmon. Why are there salmon? Because there's dams. It's, you know,
fishing and all of that.
Yeah. We can go. But I think, it's an interesting topic, and I could go on and on about how we're all connected. We are all connected. Yeah. We are definitely all connected.
Catching up on chat. Sojo said, humanism is my gateway drug to atheism. I'm proud of both. Kelly said, I don't understand the question. Is that wrong?
No, that's not.
No. That's why we're here. Sojo said, it's an easier door to open, so to speak. I was concerned about the morals I was learning in Baptist church. And I meant a capital H before.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Kelly, thanks for breaking it down. Kelly said, I would say I don't have a label or consider myself to a group. I accept people for who they are, and I hope to show the same respect. I don't know what that makes me, since I can feel on so many levels.
Mm.
Probably pretty close to humanist. I would suggest reading the Humanist Manifesto, or at least looking at about atheist.about.com, their humanist section. That's what convinced me that I was an atheist, actually, when I wasn't convinced way back in the day. When I was looking up on atheistic ethics, or agnostic ethics, actually, was the term. And I was reading up on humanism, and I was like, holy shit, I'm a humanist. Wait a minute, I'm an atheist. Wait, I'm not a communist. Wait, what? How is this possible? Yeah. I'm a paradox.
It is 4:07.
From... And we have 2 minutes from Exelk that we're literally making rabbit shepherd's pie for tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. From Kelly, the first mammal became extinct in Australia this week. Oh, that sucks.
That makes me sad.
And from Sojo in the chat, there are gray areas regarding how we treat other species, just as there are in many ethical situations. Right. Religion taught me black and white. Now I can look at problems on its own. Nuance for the win.
Right.
Definitely.
Yeah.
A big part of my discussion with the biologist about when is it okay to kill and or eat high level animals had to do with going to a counter rally to an anti-wolf rally at the Idaho State Capitol.
Hmm.
And I was torn on who was right.
That's because you're thinking rationally, and they both have seemingly rational arguments for their sides.
I agree.
That's then when you have to go in, and not unfortunately, but then you have to make a decision inside yourself of what you more or less agree with, mm-hmm. and what your feeling is. I think that's when you actually go upon sometimes your feeling. Because you can think of it and like, oh, yeah, they both. I mean, I've sat through classes and master naturalist stuff about if we're going about wolves. And I can understand where there's a side of people who are like, yeah, I don't like wolves. And this is why it's blah, 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 X, Y, Z. This is all rational argument for it. And then there's the other argument of like they are a keystone predator and they are supposed to be here. I just actually had a conversation about wolves. Just recently, exactly like that. But I'm not going to get into it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into it right now because we only have so much time. But when it boils down to it, sometimes it's just like, I got to go with how I'm feeling, which is a silly, I know that's a silly thing, but.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us for the live stream. All right. Well, that's it for this week. Remember, not all those who wander are lost.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice, and while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.